Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from the heavens. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So the sermon. At its best, the sermon mirrors what Jesus did in the synagogue. It takes the context of a passage of Scripture and it moves it into our lives today. Now, as Christians who happen to be Lutheran, we understand the sermon to be an event, an encounter with the living God who has promised to show up in God's Word. Both the word that is read from Scripture, but also when the word is proclaimed. That God shows up just as surely as God showed up in the incarnation of the word that is Jesus. And that promise and that responsibility is part of the reason why I, and I know my colleagues, approach preaching with fear and trembling. It's why I have a picture in my office of a plaque that's on the wall going up to the pulpit in my home congregation of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's one that is present in a lot of congregations. It comes from John 12:21, and it says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." That's the preacher's task, to proclaim Jesus in such a way that you see him, at least with the eyes of your heart, if not with your eyes. Now, I only half jokingly said on Wednesday that what I ought to do for this sermon is just point you back to last week. It's only half joking because the text from 2 Thessalonians and what we get in Luke today, they're talking very much the same thing. So I'll just sum it up. First is a truth. There will be tumult in the world. Truly bad things will happen, and we ought not be surprised by that. It's the reality of sin in the world. Also, even as followers of Jesus, we are not spared from the effects of these things. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "You will have tribulation." These things that press in upon us, even as God's people. External persecution, yes. Internal anguish, material hardship, we too will suffer in the way the rest of the world does. Second is this truth. No matter how difficult things become, God will not abandon you, and God will ultimately prevail. In the alternate first reading for today, the promise is that God will hear your prayers even before you give voice to them. And as we know from the history of our ancestors in the faith, God saves God's people time and time again, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt, feeding them even in the wilderness, bringing them home from exile in Babylon, being steadfast in loving them even when they go astray, time and time again, sending Jesus, God's own Son, so that we might not perish but live. No matter how difficult things will become, God will not abandon you, and God will ultimately prevail. Third is this truth. In the midst of difficult times, famines, plagues, persecutions, don't be turned from the correct path by every Tom, Dick, or Harry who says on TikTok, "I know the mind of God, come follow me." Instead, stand firm in who you are and whose you are. Some of you will get this reference, some won't, but be like Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry? Because we know that in these waters of baptism, God has claimed us as God's own children, marked us as God's, loved us from death back into life, and so there literally is nothing that can ultimately touch us. Because God keeps God's promises, even when we don't. So instead, in these moments, if anything else, we double down on being followers of Jesus and doing what he did. We proclaim and teach what he proclaimed and taught. We strive to be an outpost of the reign of God in word and in deed. And so the hungry are fed. People are treated with dignity and respect, even those who break the law, because they too are created in the image of God. We do not break the eighth commandment and listen to the gossip of our neighbor or participate in it, but instead look at what they do in the best possible way. We treat others as we want to be treated. We endure patiently what the world throws at us and still bear the fruit that comes from holding on to the word of God that is Jesus with all of our might, trusting that Jesus holds us back even tighter, trusting in his love for us, a love that was shown to us on the cross. A love that promises us life that truly is life. So, to sum up, stuff happens. It'll happen to us. God has our back. So, let's live like we trust that. For the sake of the world. Because in the end, God and God's love wins. Thanks be to God.